Thank you, Tim. Well, well, well. The folks doing the video today, it's Penny, they get yelled at when folks are talking in the sanctuary without a microphone, and I'm just as guilty. You know, I'll call on folks and not have them come up and speak into the mic, because I know people don't like to do that a lot, and they get kind of uptight about it, but I know that, you know, we get comments about that, you know, and folks that are watching online want to hear what's being said. So I'm guilty of it, and we just got to tighten up a little, and I really encourage you, you know, if you do have something to share. I know it's easier just to shout out from your seat, but come on up and just take a moment and share. So, you know, last week I mentioned about how we did the pastor's brunch here, and it was an amazing event. Just so many new leaders and pastors that were a part of it. It was really, really special. And then this week we had our PACT, which is our group, you know, group of pastors, Pastors Aligned for Community Transformation. We had our regular monthly meeting. We had a number of new pastors that came to that. And it was really, really, really a blessing. But, you know, this unity thing isn't easy. Huh? It's not easy. I feel like, and I don't say this to, yeah, I hope this isn't taken right, but I feel like I can get over on the far end of the Pentecostal care and just fit right in with those folks and have a wonderful time. And then today, I think it was Wednesday, I was with two Baptist pastors over at Dunkin' Donuts. And you know, we were just having a great time of fellowship, you know, and man, they were talking about stuff. I had just sat there sometimes. I just had to be quiet. I didn't even know some of the words they were using. But we had a great time, but it's not easy. But it's worth it, and we can't go without it. And so the Lord's doing some good things. It can be bumpy, but just keep that in prayer. I really think God's doing something really, really special in our community, and I'm really excited about that. So the title of the message this morning, I think you know where we're going based on that. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And I was thinking, you know, what Dee, all the songs that we sang this morning that focused around the goodness of God, but also there was one I jotted it down, says, "Oh Lord, you have been good, you have been faithful to all generations." And so the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God certainly go hand in hand. And here's the thing you got to understand, it all starts with Him, right? The faithfulness all starts with Him. And His faithfulness to us, but we in turn respond. And I think God is calling us to live faithful lives before Him. Amen? And so we're going to look at both sides of that today a little bit. How many have ever heard of, I'll just say it, Gray Friars Bobby? Lori has, as of 2 days ago. And me, it was only a few weeks ago. I'm thinking of Eladio in the back room interpreting and translating in Spanish. Oh, there you are. Oh, the speaker's not on in there? Take care of that for him, Doug. So Gray Friars Bobby, that's a name. Something happened to me here. That's a name. So just, you know, in Spanish, just say Gray Friars Bobby. But I had never heard of this, so nobody here has heard of it. It's amazing. It's a story. Gray Friars Bobby is a dog. That's the name of a dog. And so this was back in the 1860s in Edinburgh, Scotland. There was a little dog. He was we had to look it up. We didn't know. He was a Skye Terrier, popular breed, I think, over in England, Scotland, and such. And his name was Bobby. His owner had named him Bobby. His owner was a man named John Gray, who was, huh? Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's too complicated to get into all that. But he was, this shepherd named John Gray, this dog was attached to him. Actually, the dog belonged to a different family. You're right. Disney did a movie on this. And so I was telling Lori about it when we were out for supper on Friday night. And so when we went home, we found it on Amazon and watched the movie. In 1961, I think, Disney did a movie about it. But this dog was attached to this shepherd, John Gray. And John died. It said in the movie he died in 1865. And so he was buried in a place called Greyfriars Kirkyard. There's a whole history behind that, what that means and what the name Greyfriars is and everything. But again, it was a place and there was a cemetery there. So John Gray was buried in Greyfriars Kirkyard in Edinburgh, Scotland, 1865. So Bobby, the dog, who was so attached to that man, went and laid on the grave of John Gray. But the most astounding thing about that is he did that every night for 14 years until the dog died. And that part wasn't even in the movie. Obviously, you know, the dog, 14 years is a long time. I don't know how old the dog was when he started doing that. Pardon me?
I'm 16.
Oh, you know, huh? Good to see you, Keith. So it's an amazing story. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about this dog was so faithful to his, whether it was his owner, you know, this man that he was so attached to. And so this dog became endeared by the people in that town and in that area. So they called him, you know, his name was Bobby, and they called him Greyfriars Bobby because every night he would go to Greyfriars Kirkyard and lay on the grave of John Gray for 14 years. And there's actually a statue in Edinburgh to that little dog, Bobby. So it's an amazing story. There's a book written about it. Disney did a movie. I think there's even a newer movie about it. And but I was thinking about that, the faithfulness and the loyalty of that dog. And there's a word, and I think many of us know this word, fidelity. And fidelity is faithfulness to a person or a cause demonstrated by continuing loyalty and support. You know, our family, you know, our sons in the Marines and such, you know, many of you know what the motto of the Marine Corps is, right? Semper Fi, which is short for Semper Fidelis, which is Latin for always faithful, always faithful, fidelity. We must maintain fidelity to God, to His Word, amen? Greyfriars Bobby showed unbelievable fidelity to his owner. And if a dog can show faithfulness to his owner, and Marines can show faithfulness to their country and their corps, the Marine Corps, how much more should we as people of God show fidelity and faithfulness to God Himself? But our faithfulness is rooted in and grows out of God's faithfulness to us. Right? And so that's where I want to start, and I'll spend a few minutes on that and then shift over about our faithfulness to Him. But I want to talk about God's faithfulness to us. It was certainly part of the theme of our worship this morning, our singing, and so forth. And it's just like, see, everything initiates, everything originates with Him. And I was thinking of this scripture that says, we love Him, 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. Well, it's the same, you know, we love Him because He initiated and He loved us and loves us, present tense. And it's the same with faithfulness. We can be faithful to Him because He's been faithful to us. Amen? God is the one that sets the standard. God sets the bar. And we can be faithful to God because He's been faithful to us. It's a very often repeated theme in the Bible, the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness is one of God's moral attributes. And there's Tim Archer, where's Tim? You know, going back to the days when we've taught knowing the doctrines, you know, with Meyer Perlman. He talks about God's active attributes, that God is all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's ever-present, he's all-present, you know, those things. Those are his active attributes. But his moral attributes, like love and mercy and grace and kindness and compassion and goodness and faithfulness, these are moral attributes of God. And by attributes, I simply mean his characteristics. It's his nature. It's his the traits of God. This is who he is. It's just part, intrinsically a part of who he is. It's God's nature. Forgive the double negative, but he can't not be faithful. Right? He can't not be faithful because it's who he is. And I'm kind of jumping ahead, but you know, we sang one of the lines in one of the songs that you're never going to let me down. I wonder if people, some people struggle with that. You see, because the faithfulness of God doesn't mean you're going to get everything you ask for, right? It doesn't mean God's going to answer every prayer the way you think it needs to be answered. So we got to understand that and kind of keep that in its context. One of my, let me say this. I love thinking about, meditating about, preaching about, talking about the faithfulness of God. Because it says to me that everything God has promised, he will continue to do. Right? We don't have to worry about that tomorrow he's going to change his mind and not do what he promised and said he was going to do. So it's kind of, to me, one of the, I mean, to say one is more important than the other is wrong. But it's so central in my thinking, because faithfulness is like who God is and what we know about God. We can trust that it's going to be that way forever. I love one of my favorite songs, in the Christian music scene, if you will, is that song by Maverick City Music called Promises. I love that song, and some of the words, I jotted them down here. God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant and of faithful promises, time and time again. You have proven you'll do just what you said. Great is your faithfulness to me, from the rising of the sun to the setting, same. I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. God, from age to age, though the earth may pass away, your word remains the same. Your history can prove there's nothing that you can't do. You are faithful and true. And I just love that. And it just really ministers in my heart every time I hear that song. God can be trusted. He can be trusted. And again, it doesn't mean he's going to do everything the way that you think it needs to be done. There's a deeper level of faith that we don't always understand. We think faith is that all of our prayers are answered, you know, the way that we want them to be. But so again, the theme of in Scripture, just a couple of verses. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And lastly, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown, or some translations say deny. He cannot deny himself. So just in those four passages, God is faithful to forgive us of our sins. He's faithful in providing a relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. He is faithful to protect us from the evil one, and he is faithful even when we're not. And that doesn't give us a pass, right? Oh, it doesn't matter what we do. Of course it does. But even in those times when we fall short, God remains faithful. Doesn't mean that, you know, we don't go through some tough times, or we don't go through the chastening of the Lord, the discipline of the Lord, because we do. But nevertheless, God is faithful. Last week I mentioned, Pastor Ron, of course, was preaching, but in the beginning of the service, I opened with a verse from Psalm 89, and the whole theme of Psalm 89, it's a long psalm, is the faith, or the main theme is the faithfulness of God. So I just took a few verses. They're not on the screen, but I'll just read them. I will sing, these are just random verses, 7 or 8 verses from Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever with my mouth. I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. We sang that this morning. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord. Your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints, O Lord God of hosts. Who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. And then God responds, and now God speaking in the first person, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my mouth. This is the God that we serve, a faithful, trustworthy God. He is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will never leave us nor forsake us, as the scripture says. And because of God's faithfulness to us, we in turn can be faithful to him. And we'll never be able to do it to the degree, of course, that God does, right? We can't do it perfectly like he does, but it's still an ideal. Like I said, God sets the bar. Let me talk for a moment about the distinguishing between faithfulness, being faithful to God, and being successful. Because this is something, and you say, well, where are you going with this? Because it's something that the Lord really dealt with me over years ago about. Everyone talks about success, and people measure success in certain ways and so forth. But in God's kingdom, he puts more emphasis on faithfulness than he does on success, as it is defined by the world, right? I mean, if you're being faithful, I think God considers you to be a success, amen, right? But the world has all these measurements and, you know, measures success, and the world tries to define it. What does it mean to be a successful person? And God just really, really, really spoke to my heart years ago and said, I've called you to be faithful, not necessarily successful. And I don't know. And again, I know the two can go hand in hand. And if you're faithful to God, you are successful in his eyes. But what the world defines as success, and the world may never define you or me as a success in their eyes, but if you're being faithful to God and you're staying true to him in his eyes, we are. That's what he desires. And I have the verse up here. Do not fear. This is from Revelation 2:10. Any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful. You say, uh-oh. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. You say, man, that's heavy duty. Be faithful until death. But again, I know that may sound like really intense and overwhelming, be faithful until death, but the Lord just used that verse to say, that's all I'm asking of you. That's all I'm asking of you. Just be faithful. And I say, okay, by the grace of God, not in our own strength, not in my own strength, I can do that. I can get up this morning. Sometimes I can't necessarily think about, you know, the next however many years God's given me on this earth, but God, like Tim was talking, you know, getting up and starting your day in his presence and going out, and God, I believe by your grace and the help of your Holy Spirit, I can be faithful to you this day. The words that every one of us want to hear, what are they? His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I can think of no more meaningful words ever than to hear the Lord himself say to us, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I'll tell you, that motivates my heart. I hope it motivates your heart. You know, we get a little glimpse into how the kingdom of God works. If you're faithful in the small things, I'll give you more. Some people say, I don't want more. I don't want more responsibility. Well, you know, that's between you and God. He'll figure that. You can sort that out with him. But if you are given something, and you are faithful to that thing, to that whatever, you know, or to that you know, your family, your job, whatever, you know, whatever you have that's been put in front of you that you are a steward of, that you are responsible for, if you're faithful in that, God sees that and God rewards us by opening more doors for us and letting us have a greater impact for his kingdom. Faithfulness cannot be achieved in a day, a week, a month, or a year, right? It's a lifetime. It's a life. Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. And that's what the whole story is about, that there are those that were not faithful. Those, you know, and I'm not sure, you know, there's all kinds of different stories. You know, the ones that were taken what they were given and multiplied it, right, versus the one who took it and buried it in the ground because he was afraid. And the master said, you know, listen, you didn't even try. You didn't even try, you know, to take what I've given you. So faithfulness is a lifetime endeavor. It's not a flash in the pan thing. It's over the long haul. It's a lifetime of choices and commitments. And I always say to people, you can lose it in seconds, right? Because of, you know, poor choices and stuff. So what does it look like? And just kind of bringing this around, trying to wrap this up here. What does it look like? 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And I've shared this many times before, but a steward is a kind of an old word for a manager. Somebody who is responsible for things, even though they don't own them. I used to, and I always use the example, I used to manage an auto parts store way back in the day, back in the, I don't know, early, mid-80s somewhere. I managed an auto parts store in Brockport, and it, I don't know what the inventory of that store was. There was a lot of stuff in the store. I didn't own any of it, but I was a steward of it. I was to steward those things that were given. So a steward is a manager. I don't know why sometimes the computer just glitches out for a second. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And I always have said this, and this is repetitive for some of you, but we're required to be good stewards and to be faithful in three things. Just three things. Resources. See, when we talk about stewardship, right, that's what we think of. The things we've been given, the material things, the financial things, well, we've got to be faithful with those things, right? So we're called to be faithful with resources, but we're also called to be faithful with relationships. There are three R's. Resources, relationships. The relationships you have in your life, they're not disposable. They're not, you know, dispensable, I can just throw them away or whatever. We've got to be faithful with those relationships that God's given us. And thirdly, the third R is revelation. The things that God has showed us about himself and the things that we have learned and the things that have been given to us from his word and by his spirit, we've got to be faithful with those things. Faithfulness is a fruit of the spirit, right? I don't know why it's doing that. But Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So this isn't a work of the flesh. It isn't pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and trying harder. It's relying on the Spirit of God. And you know, yes, self-discipline, that's all important, but it's relying on the Spirit of God. It's literally something that flows from his spirit. Because why? Because, again, it's his nature. It's his character. The traits, he can't not be faithful. So when we're operating in the fruit of the spirit, we're going to live that kind of life. And so that's part of the transformation that God is doing in our life. You know, Romans 8:29. For those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So that's what God is doing, and this is part of it, learning how to walk in faithfulness to God. So I'm going to close here with just a few things I had put together this list, and I found it in some old notes I had. What are the characteristics of a faithful person? So I'm going to run through them. There's eight of them, but I'm going to go through them super quick. It'll just take 2 minutes. Number one, a faithful person possesses the fear of the Lord, right? They're walking that reverence with God. In the verse there, Nehemiah 7:2, Nehemiah was giving charge over Jerusalem, and he said, I gave charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, and Hanani, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. Secondly, we have a faithful person is in it, like I said, for the long haul. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, one of my memory verses, therefore be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. A faithful person is faithful in the small things. And we just talked about that from Matthew 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. I saw something on social media, on Facebook, months ago. Talked about, this was the quote, I don't know one successful person who leaves their grocery cart in the middle of the parking lot. Being faithful in small things, right? You know, oh, I don't care. I don't care if the wind blows in and bumps into that guy's car and puts a dent in his door. I don't care. I'm in a hurry, right? I don't know a successful person. Again, just saying, being faithful in the small things. A successful person who leaves their grocery cart in the middle of the parking lot. And it went on and it said, if you're too big to do the small things, you're too small to do the big things. Amen? If you're too big to do the small things, you're too small to do the big things. A faithful person is diligent. Oops, there it goes. A faithful person is diligent in what belongs to others. Right? When you've been given charge over something, and that goes back to that verse I quoted earlier about being a steward, it requires of a steward that one be found faithful. Be faithful with what belongs to others and not just your own stuff. A faithful person honors confidentiality. It stopped working. Oh, there it goes. That means, it says in Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer, somebody who tells tales, reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Sometimes, and especially this comes into play in ministry a lot, you know, where you hear things, you know things, and you talk to people or whatever, and you have to be very careful that you steward that properly and don't just blab it around, right? That's all part of it, confidentiality. A faithful person is truthful. The Bible says a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. A faithful person is a humble person. Before honor comes humility, it says in Proverbs 55. And finally, a faithful person is above reproach. And this is the story of Daniel in chapter 6 of verse 4 of the book of Daniel. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find any charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. It doesn't mean we live a perfect life. We all know that. We don't have to go down that road. But we strive to be faithful and to live a life above reproach. And finally, faithfulness is about finishing. I am, the older I get, and I know it sounds, you know, and some of you say what do you say, Al? I'm still wet behind the ears. That's what Al always says, right? Anybody who's younger than Al, he teases about saying they're old. But the older I get, the more I am concerned about how I finish. Amen? And that's just a very important thing. And faithfulness is about finishing. And I quoted this verse earlier. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It matters most when things are hard to live a faithful life. Mark Batterson said this. He said, blessing is found in long obedience in the same direction. Blessing is found, I love that phrase, long obedience in what's the word he used? In the same direction. And, you know, there's a lot of flash in the pans in the church sometimes. You know, people that start off and they're going to do this and they're going to do that, but the blessing is found and faithfulness is found in long obedience in the same direction. God is a finisher. How many understand that? right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, it says in Hebrews 12. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it, or he will finish it, Philippians 1:6. And on the cross, what did Jesus say? It is finished. Be faithful to God and finish strong. That's really... Pardon me? Yes, he did. It is finished. Be faithful to God and finish strong. And as I said, it just stirs my heart so much. And the thought, you know, and what it is this. The thought of serving God all these years and then stumbling at the finish line is really kind of weighs on me. You know, God, I want to, and by your grace, and again, it's not about me, but it's about his work in our lives and submitting to it, yielding to it, as Rick said earlier. If a dog can be faithful to his master and lay on the grave for 14 years, and Marines can be faithful to the Corps, to the Marine Corps, to the country, then we of all people should be faithful to God. I want you to stand with me. Faithfulness doesn't mean, as I already said, that God is going to answer every prayer the way you want it answered. And I think sometimes we have a very narrow view, you know, and we say, oh God, you know, you've never failed. You've never let me down. You know, some people are like, well, wait a second, you know, I prayed for my aunt, whatever, or my father or something, and they died. It's not just about getting everything you want, and I hope you have a much deeper understanding. It's about trusting in the goodness of God and in the faithfulness of God, no matter what. You know, and I won't go through it now, but I've done it many times. I think we just talked about it in men's group a few weeks ago, about how in Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about, you know, women received their dead raised to life, and they conquered kingdoms, they subdued enemies, and they did, and then right in the middle of the sentence, others were tortured. Others died. He even talks about being sawn in two, which is the fate of, traditionally, historically, believe that the prophet Isaiah was sawn in two. And it says, and here's the whole thing. God didn't look at the ones who subdued kingdoms with any greater faith or faithfulness than those who suffered or died or were tortured or whatever went through. It says they wandered about sometimes, you know, they didn't have, you know, the it says in sheepskins and goatskins in the deserts and so forth, you know. God looks at it in a totally different lens than we look at it about what it means to truly be faithful to God. So let's bow our heads. Sometimes faith is staying faithful even when things don't go well. And I think we've cheapened the understanding of faith sometimes, that it's always about, you know, God doing this and that and all. Sometimes even when things aren't going the way we want it, because every one of us, you know, to one degree or another, as we stand here today, there's things in our lives that are not the way we would want them to be. Situations and circumstances and relationships or whatever. But God, you are faithful. And we celebrate that today. We celebrate that. Oh God, you are good and you have been faithful to all generations. We sang that this morning. And I thank you, God, that we can put our trust in you and that you do not fail. I know the scripture says, I believe it's, if I'm right, Isaiah 55:8, that your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher than our thoughts. And sometimes we, as the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13, we see through a glass darkly. And we don't always know or understand God, but we put our trust in you. We put our faith in you, God, because you are trustworthy and you are forever faithful to all generations. And God, because of what you've done for us and in us, God, we want to live lives of faithfulness to you. God, we don't want to bring reproach to your kingdom. We don't want to give your enemies a reason to speak evil of you because of our lives. God, we want to honor you. And we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit working inside of us, we can be faithful men and women of God. And for anyone here today who does not know Jesus Christ, who has not received him as Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, friend, that he is, again, trustworthy. And he will do what he said. And what he starts in a person's life, he will finish it. And if you will acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior, if you will accept the love of God and you will accept the work of Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross and how he died in our place so that we could have a relationship with him and receive that by faith. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And if that applies to anyone here today, I pray that you would just make that confession of faith. Tell someone, I'd love to hear. I would love, it would make my day that somebody said yes to Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we leave here, just we get to celebrate it and live it out every day. We thank you. You're so good. We ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be dismissed. There's some great stuff out there. Not only normal donuts and stuff, but there's brownies left over from yesterday. It's going to be a good time of fellowship and some snacks out there and coffee and such. God bless. You're dismissed.